I believe many of us have been praying. We are praying that our lives will be back to normal, that our kids will be back to school as usual, and that we can even have our regular vacation and continue with our usual or regular activities. Scripture reminds us, you know, we are not alone in this, but Jesus is praying for us too. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Word of God says that He always lives to intercede for us. Even now, as we are gathered together, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for us. Along with us, He's praying that we will continue to live a life for Him. He's praying that His presence will be felt in our lives too. And so we are not alone, my friends. Every moment, the Lord is praying for us. The past few weeks, we have been looking on the theme called the Upper Room Discourse. It's a very powerful discourse that Jesus had with the disciples. He brought them separately before His suffering and crucifixion. He spent some time with them, an intimate moment with them, where He poured His heart to them, teaching them about the core truths for believers to live. He taught them lessons about servanthood, about humility, that He is the way to the Father. He spoke to them saying that they are not alone in this journey. The Holy Spirit of God is in them. And He also spoke to them and taught them about the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. He also commanded them to love God and to love one another and to abide in the Father's love. In John chapter 17, which is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus, we see the importance of prayer, the power of prayer, and we also see that Jesus is praying for each and every one of us because the Lord is aware of our situations, our struggles. He's aware that we are living in this world, and so He's praying for us. And today, I want to look at the theme called the Christian and the world. The Christian and the world. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at His Word, as we draw strength and lessons from God's Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have access to Your Word. We thank You that Your Word continues to be a light to our path. We pray that You'll continue to strengthen us in our journey. We pray, God, that we will always listen to the prompting of the Spirit. Lord, as we spend some time looking at Your Word, we pray, God, that You will stir our hearts and minds, O God, that we will be obedient to Your Word. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, relationship is very vital aspects of our human existence because relationship portrays our connection to one another, our connection to our families, to our fellow Christians, our neighbors, our nation, our world, and also to God. And as human beings, we are created in the image of God. And so we seek and desire to have relationship. And establishing relationship and community is also a vital desire and activity of God. But the challenge that is before us, you know, how do we determine? In other words, what kind of relationship should I promote? What kind of relationship should I encourage in this world? Or how I need to be careful, or the things that I need to stay away from so that my love for God will be there, that I will not be separated from the love of God. So John chapter 17 is a very powerful passage because in this particular passage, Jesus is pouring His heart to the disciples. And Jesus is fully aware where the disciples will be living and where we will be living in this world. He's aware of that we are vulnerable to all the imperfections in this world. He's aware of our daily struggles and our daily problems that we face. And the challenge that is before us, you know, how do we remain unblemished by the wickedness of this world? Thank God we have the Word of God, and we praise God because we have the Holy Spirit of God in us to carefully guide us to journey or even to navigate our life in this world. And in verse 20, Jesus beautifully says, where He prays. And in this prayer, you realize that He is also not praying for the disciples, but He's also praying for us. The Word of God says, He says, I am praying not only for these disciples. Jesus is saying, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So the prayer that Jesus is making is not only for the disciples, but also for you and me, my friend. Praise God, because we have a God who prays for us. Even now, as we are gathered to hear God's word, Jesus is praying for us. And so He's aware of all the things, you know, that surrounds us. You know, when you look at the passage very carefully, you realize, you know, our relationship with the world. And so Jesus is using the world or cosmos quite a number of times. Let me read verse 9. It says in verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. He says, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. When Jesus says, I do not pray for the world, it was not because He did not care for the lost or the fallen world. But in this context, no, Jesus is focusing on the disciples. In verse 11, He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And so He's asking the Father, they are still in the world, so protect them by the power of Your name. And in verse 14, we realize He says, I've given them Your word, and the world has hated them. So Jesus knows that the world hates us. You know why? Because they're not of the world any more than I'm not of the world. And then in verse 16, Jesus says, they are not of the world. We are not of the world. So you realize, you know, Jesus is talking about our relationship with the world, our life in this world, the way we are expected to live in this world. Scripture uses the term world or cosmos in numerous ways. And even Christians, right, today, when we define the world, we define differently based on a different context. The Greek word cosmos means order or arrangement. Order or arrangement. You know, the Greek word has a different meanings based on the context. For example, the cosmos, the world, is used in the Bible, right? The order of creation. So when speaking about creation, the things that God has created, if you read in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, you know, the author says, the God who made the world and all the things in it. So he talks about the world of creation. So there are passages, numerous passages, that talks about that God is the creator, that He is the creator of the world. Secondly, we see passages of the scriptures that talks about the order of humanity. In other words, the world of humanity. Many times when you see the word world, it means humanity. It means you and me. In John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar passage to all of us. It says, for God so loved the world. In other words, God loved the entire world, the human race. Right? And in Matthew 24, verse 14, we are reminded the gospel to be preached to the whole world, to the entire humanity. Thirdly, when you look at the way the word cosmos is used, it speaks about the system of the world. The world system that is opposed to God. The activity of humanity that is affected by the fall when sin came into this world. In other words, the order of evil. And that's why when Jesus comes back in John chapter 16, verse 8, He says that He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and also about judgment. So we see the dominion of the devil, Satan's activity in humanity after the fall, my friend. And that's why in John chapter 12, verse 31, you know, Satan is known as the prince of this world. Right? He's also seen as the spirit of the world, that he is in the world, as 1 John 4:4 speaks about. And those who are outside of Christ comes under his rule, his dominion. But thank God, we don't belong to this world. We don't belong to the kingdom of the devil. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is praying for us, my friend. He's praying for us. With that in mind, I want to look at from verses 9 to 19. And there are four things that mentions about believers. When I say believers, I mean to say those who are living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have professed their faith, their belief, their trust in Jesus, and they say that He is my Savior and the Lord of my life. God encourages us through His prayer. And the first thing He reminds us through the prayer, or He encourages, He says in verse 19, He says, I chose you out of the world. In other words, we are delivered from the world, my friend. He said, I chose you out of the world. Very interesting word in the Greek text. It means, literally means, that God dragged us. Right? Whenever you see the word deliver, God has dragged us out of the world. Right? We were caught. We almost went into the waters, my friend. But God has dragged us out of the pool of sin and unrighteousness. He dragged us away and drove us into Himself, to His kingdom, to His rule. We are transferred into the kingdom of God. Jesus have delivered us. Dear friends, wherever you are, be reminded that you are delivered from the world, from the fallen world, from the world of darkness. Paul writes to the Colossians church in chapter 1, verse 13, that we are delivered from the domain of darkness. And so we do not belong to this world. It means we are saved, we are set free. Our identity is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says in verse 9, I'm not praying for the world. He's praying for us. You know, when I read, I realize the unique relationship that God has with us. He's praying for us, my friend. And in verse 9, He says that you have given me. Wow. That I belong to Jesus Christ, that we belong to Him, we belong to the Father, we belong to the Son, we belong to the Almighty God, the Creator of heavens and earth. We are a possession of God. We are bought with a price. Praise the Lord for that. Have you ever told yourself, you know, I'm delivered. I come under the rule of God, under the reign of God. And so we need not fear. Because Christ is our King. Christ is our Lord. Secondly, very interestingly, Jesus also says in verse 11, right? He has delivered us, but He has also, you know, made us to live in this world. In verse 11, He says, I will remain in the world no longer, because Jesus is going away from the world at that time, but they are still in the world. He says, Father, they are still in the world. You know, God says, I've left them in the world. And He says, Lord, protect them. Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. We live in a world, right, where we are surrounded with so many things. We live and we work in this world, but we cannot belong to this world. If our priorities are not aligned to God's word, if our desires are not the desires of God, if our plans and our purposes are not aligned to the word of God or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, my friend, we walk further away from God. And so we are left here. We are not left here alone. In verse 11, Jesus says, "The Father, keep them in your name." In other words, he says, "Lord, keep them. Let them have a knowledge about who you are. Let them know about your greatness, about your love, about your strength, about your power, who you are, and the things that you can do in their life." So the more I know about God, the more I engage in knowing God, I begin to grow in my love for Him, and I become much more rooted, and I become much more firm in my faith for Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'll know who I am, because I belong to Him. And then he also says, "Lord, keep them united." In verse 11, he says, "so that they may be one as we are one." As the Father is one with the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, "Lord, I want them to be one as we are one." Not organic oneness. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in our purpose. We are one in the area of preaching the gospel. We are one because we are called to love one another, care for one another. We are one in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We care, we love, we reach out one another because we belong to the same family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is praying, my friend. The church has to be one. The more we are one, we manifest the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he also prays in verse 14. He says, "Lord, keep them from the evil one." He says, "My prayer," in verse 15, he says, "my prayer is not that you will take them out of the world." He says, "but that you will protect them from the evil one." Jesus is praying that you and I will be protected from the evil one. Jesus is aware that the world is fallen and the world is under the rule of the evil one. Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the one who's ruling. He's not the creator of the world. Because of our sins, because of the trespasses of this world, the world has come under the domain, under the rule of the evil one. And the world has brought, and Satan has brought the world to this condition. But praise God, you know, you and I need not fear. Because we have God who's taking care of us. And we have one another in the church to encourage. And so we need to be just leaning on to God. Thirdly, when I look at the passage very carefully, you know, in verse 16 and 17, you know, Jesus is reminding us as Christians, not only we are delivered, but we need to live in this world. We are not alone. We are kept in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We care for one another. And the Spirit of God is in us. And then he says, we are different. In verse 16, and says, you know, we are different. We are different, not the way we look at one another. You know, it says in verse 16, not of the world. He says, they are not of the world as I am not. In other words, the Lord says, no, they are a new creation. They are sealed by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and at the same time he says, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And then in verse 17 he says, Lord, set them apart. In other words, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. In other words, Jesus says, Lord, set them, sanctify them, set them apart. You know, when you look at the word very carefully, the meaning of the word, you know, we are progressively different. We are progressively different in the way we look at the world, in the way we think, in the way we deal, in our deeds, in the actions, our reactions to the world. We are progressively different, my friend, Because we are sanctified by the truth. We are sanctified by the Word of God. Because we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Each and every moment we are sanctified. We become more like Christ. And we become different. The early Christians were radical. Not because they looked different. Because they saw the purposes of God was different in their life. They have a zeal. They were living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, you know, in the Word of God says, you know, we are ambassadors for Jesus. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors for Christ. In verse 18, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And so Jesus is saying, as the Father has sent me, you know, God sent his Son into the world with a particular purpose. He says, Christ is sending us into the world the way the Father has sent. He is sending us into the world that you and I will represent him, that we'll be ambassadors for him, that we will be advocate for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the word ambassador, they are not elected, but they are chosen. God has chosen us, my friend. God has chosen each and every one of us. God has chosen the church. God has chosen, you know, every believer to be an ambassador. They are sent out the way Jesus was sent out to extend God's kingdom wherever we are. We are sent out to our communities. You know, we are not living in our community. We are sent out to our communities. We are sent out to the workplaces we are in. Even in our colleges, even in the midst of our friends, we are sent out to be his ambassadors, to represent him. Very interestingly, it is not a choice. But we are sent out. In verse 19, let me finish. Right? In verse 19, he says, for them, I sanctify myself. He says, for these people, Jesus says, I sanctify myself that they may be truly sanctified. In other words, Jesus says, for these people, I consecrate myself. And that's why Jesus always said, I came to do the will of the Father. I came to fulfill the desires of the Father. Jesus consecrated himself, I sanctified myself, that they too will be truly sanctified. Today, my friend, you know, God wants us to give ourselves to him so that he can fulfill his plan and purposes. But are we giving ourselves to God? He wants his love and message to be sent to the world, my friend, to the cities, to the neighborhood. Tell yourself that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That you are specially chosen to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to him and you belong to the Savior. Let me finish with a story about a little boy. They were in this family, you know, they were having their Thanksgiving dinner. And so this young boy was called to do the prayer. He did a very interesting prayer, a very powerful prayer. He prayed, and this was his prayer. Dear God, this is Jimmy. And he said, Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the holidays. And then he continued, Thank you for the turkey and dressing and mom and dad. And even for my little sister, even though sometimes she can be a pain. And then he said, thank you for books and TV and Game Boy. And thank you for loving us. And for a moment, he paused for a while. And then he said, oh, yeah. And take care of yourself, God. Because without you, we are some. He said, and take care of yourself, God, because without you, we are sung And he said, Amen. Yes, my friend. You know, we might smile when we hear the prayer of the boy, but it is true, without Christ, we are sunk. We will go into the rule of this world. And thank God that Jesus is praying for us. You know, the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, is praying for me. And so I will not fear. I will live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ with courage and boldness. Always be reminded, my friend, each and every day that you are delivered to be His. You and I are delivered to be His people. We dwell in the world, not alone, but protected by God. We have the church, the body of Christ, to be there for us. We are different because we have the seal, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We are becoming more like Christ, and we represent Him. Thank God that, you know, that we represent Him, and God has given us the opportunity to represent Him. I want to pray for all of us, even including myself, that each and every moment that God's word would continue to be my strength. And I will know that I'm not alone in this journey. Jesus is praying for me. The Father will keep me under His name, and the church is there for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your word that inspires us, Father, that brings meaning to our life. We pray, Lord, that each and every day, God, Lord, we will be encouraged, we will be empowered by Your word, and we will know that Jesus is praying for us. We love You once again. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen.